Hi, everyone, and thanks for listening to our SearchWindowsSecurity.com podcast, discussing what's hot in the Windows security world for October 2007. Joining us today is Sardar Yegdilalp. Sardar has been writing about Windows and related technologies for over 10 years now and is a regular contributor to various sections of TechTarget, as well as other publications. He hosts the website WindowsInsider.com, where he posts regularly about Windows and has an ongoing feature guide to Vista for immigrants from Windows XP. How are you today, Sardar?
I'm doing real good.
Okay, last week, Microsoft announced a dangerous command execution vulnerability that affects users who are running the most recent version of IE in Windows XP and Windows Server 2003. Could you tell us a little bit about this vulnerability and its implications?
Well, it actually got started as an issue in Firefox. People noticed that if you had Internet Explorer 7 and Firefox installed on the same system, a Windows XP or Windows Server 2003 system, an attack could be launched. If someone clicked on a specially formed URL in IE7, the attack would launch an instance of Firefox using arbitrary command line parameters. And originally, the blame for this problem was laid at the feet of the Firefox developers because they were really supposed to be screening what was passed to their own program a little more aggressively. Microsoft maintained that it wasn't an issue on their end. But a number of other independent security researchers started to hammer on Microsoft a little more aggressively about it, even as Firefox was itself patched to avoid this problem. And now Microsoft has been informed that Outlook Express and Outlook 2000 can also be used as attack vectors in the same manner. And now Microsoft is taking the issue a little bit more seriously. They've posted a security advisory about this issue. It's number 943521. If you look in the Microsoft knowledge base, you can find the relevant article about it. I will say that the scope of the problem is a bit restricted. It does not affect Vista, for instance, and it doesn't affect any system where Windows does not have Internet Explorer 7 installed. So if you're running IE6, you're okay. If you're running IE7 on Vista, you're okay. And there has also been a fairly detailed blog post from the Microsoft Security Response Center, or MSRC, about this issue. Because the URL is quite long, I created a tiny URL version of the URL to go to read about it, because there's a fair amount of background in there about how they researched the issue and were not originally certain that it was a Microsoft problem. Again, this being from Microsoft, you take what they say with a grain of salt, but it's still pretty eye-opening. So if you go to tinyurl.com/YOADP8, you'll be able to read the whole article there. That was published October 10th. So while this has started as a Firefox issue, it's now clear to Microsoft that it's actually a problem with the way Windows handles URIs in a number of different forms, but they've started to take the issue more seriously and are starting to do something about it, which is the most important thing.
Well, shifting gears now. It's come out recently that Microsoft is downloading upgrades to Windows Update, even to people who have turned such updates off. What kinds of security risks does this kind of practice pose, and how seriously can something like this affect a Windows system?
Well, the main issue appears to be a matter more of violated trust than violated security. Some background about the issue. What was happening was even when people had Windows Update disabled, when they had their Windows Update settings in Windows set to not download anything, Microsoft was actually downloading updates to the Windows Update mechanism itself. And many people were very angry about this because they said, well, if I set this thing not to download updates at all, that means don't download updates for anything, including Windows Update. And Microsoft at first squirmed on the hook a bit about this, saying, well, you know, we do have to protect the update mechanism itself, but people said no means no. They were very adamant about this. And so there is now a great deal of debate about exactly what that means. You know, if Microsoft should indeed hew to that, that if somebody says they don't want any updates at all, that this means that nothing, not even the update mechanism itself, should be updated. At the very least, I would like to see Microsoft either revise the wording of the update mechanism selection, or provide for people a fourth choice where only updates to the update mechanism itself are provided but nothing else. At least that way it would be called a little more explicitly. But as far as security risks go, I'm not really sure, because apart from some fairly elaborate and difficult to implement hijacking schemes, it's really hard to download an update by a third party through Windows Update. Whether you're at home or if you are in a controlled corporate environment, especially if you're in a controlled corporate environment, I could foresee a couple of bizarre mechanisms where somebody could be tricked into installing something that would redirect Windows Update to another server, but I really don't know how practical that is. But the issue of trust, trust between the user and Microsoft in general, is a much more visible and urgent one here.
Well, how similar is that to instances in the past where companies have hidden software on their products, like when Sony hid rootkits on CDs they were selling a few years ago, for example? Should we expect to see situations where users can take legal action or where their software can seriously be compromised? Will we be hearing about other instances of these stealth downloads in the future?
As far as the Sony rootkit issue goes, I'm not sure that's an exact parallel. What happened there was Sony was concealing a rootkit program on a number of their audio CDs, which prevented the audio from being ripped to the computer as a copy protection measure. It didn't take long for this to surface. It's very difficult to keep a secret in the computer age of any kind, especially something of that dimension. And before long, Sony ended up with egg on its face, and they had to yank all the CDs that had this particular copy protection on it. And they ended up getting into a huge legal hassle, both with their own customers and with the people who provided them with the rootkit. What's happening on the PC side, though, is there are many programs, not just Windows, which do attempt to update themselves quietly in the background. The Sun Java environment, for instance, tries to do this. Apple's QuickTime tries to do this. And they all have their own separate update mechanisms for polling a server somewhere and finding out if there's an updated version and downloading it. Those are generally not too bad because there's at least some documentation somewhere about what's going on. Their big problem is that they tend to be annoying. They run in the background, they eat up a certain amount of memory, and many people don't like having that stuff running continuously. If they're reasonably computer savvy, they can figure out how to pull for that stuff on their own. But I am unfortunately convinced that we are going to be hearing about instances of stealth downloads in the future, probably as an adjunct to the mechanisms that I described, and not necessarily in a sense that they're malicious. You know, it's not a case of malware doing this, but a case of an existing legitimate program doing something that was accepted as a standard update mechanism in the past, but for whatever reason is doing it badly, doing it in a way that makes it look like it violates the user's trust. So I think that's something that we need to pay attention to, at least as much as, you know, a piece of malware that is silently downloading itself.
Okay, great. Well, that's it for our SearchWindowsSecurity.com podcast, What's Hot in the Windows Security World for October 2007. I'd like to thank all of you for listening today, and of course a very special thanks to our speaker, Sidhar Yagulap. Thanks, Sidhar.
Thanks a lot.